Okay, folks, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the June 24th work session of Chester Heights Borough. Prior to getting started, I'd just like to mention, make mention of the passing of a longtime Chester Heights resident, Mrs. Carol Tucker. Passed away late last week. Ms. Tucker served as borough treasurer for a number of years. We thank her for her service, and we also pass our condolences along to her family. Moving forward, roll call. Tonight, we have present Mayor Stacy Smith, Borough Solicitor Jerry Montella, alternate Borough Solicitor Pete Rohana, Councilpersons Philip Block, Gina Marie Ellis, myself, Steve Picoza, Jordan Goldberg, and Susan Clark. Not present currently are Teresa Gustinelli and Borough Engineer Matt Hootman. Next on the agenda is the opportunity for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. Anyone in the first row?
No.
Second row? Yes.
I'm the school clerk, Ada Lynn, I write. I just wanted to follow up. On June 14th, I sent an email asking if the condition of the post office parking lot was under the jurisdiction of the Chester Heights Borough Inspection Officer.
Yes, and I had a discussion with Matt Hootman on that and also a brief discussion with Jerry and actually Rich Jensen also. When that building would be sold ever or when it would change title, Rich would do a UNO inspection on the inside and possibly the outside. From that point on, maintenance on the parking lot would be either the responsibility of the owner or if the tenant has a triple net lease, then it would fall upon him. So I'm not sure which applies in that situation. But the borough would have no jurisdiction. Anyone in the third row? Okay, moving forward, we have Old Quarry Knoll. Chad Ingram, I believe, is going to present.
Yes, sir. Hi, thanks for having us tonight. Briefly, what we did is we put together just a sketch that you have in front of you that shows where we would recommend a within the Chester Heights Borough Park. What we laid out is approximately 900 feet.
Chad, if I could interrupt you, could you maybe just go over for the council persons who aren't aware that the applicant is looking for the borough to take dedication of a portion of that road that falls in Concord Township in lieu of that?
Certainly.
Proposing
one of the recommendations from the applicant was for the borough of Chester Heights to assume responsibility not only for the infrastructure within the right-of-way of Old Quarry Knoll's subdivision, but also the portion of the road within Concord Township, excluding the seepage beds. We had provided the design for the road in accordance to borough ordinance standards and also offered a portion of improvement to the park in terms of a 900-foot pedestrian trail. The trail that we propose is one we recently installed at TLC, which is the Learning Center of Southern Chester County, and it's recommended by Penn State University. It's become very popular for trails for the durability of it. A little more expensive, it's much more advanced than just cinders and gravel, but it's a more natural look. It's tannish in its appearance, and specifications are actually on the plan. Solicitor Rohan had also recommended that we put the width down, which we have noted, I believe, 5 feet in width, and the depth, so it's cut in flush to the ground once you strip the topsoil, put in with the specification mix. And I also I added a few notations for the borough engineer, Matt Hootman. In the event he determined there's an area or two that may be subject to more erosion, they could substitute a different stone.
Excuse me, is the developer planning to put this in, or are they asking the borough to put this in?
The developer would be putting this in.
So they would be paying?
That's correct.
But it's in exchange for the road dedication.
Also, do you happen to know how often the maintenance is required on these? Is like every 5 years, every 10 years? And, I mean, is the borough then going to assume the maintenance costs on this in the future?
That's my understanding. One thing that I had emailed over to Solicitor Rohana is that at TLC, we recommended they've been using just a blower spring and fall to take the leaves off, and that's it. And if you were to go to the TLC site, Kenna Township, that actually has steeper slopes on it, which the Borough Park does not. I wouldn't foresee anything in the way of significant maintenance. Once it's rolled down, the trail just really compacts tight. I believe that's one of the reasons Penn State University recommends it throughout DCNR and the other state parks. Again, very durable and to me not subject to erosion, especially on gentle or flat slopes. So a blower when you're done cutting the grass, similar to weed whacking, that would be it.
Yeah, I just worry about long-term, like replacement in 10 years, if it gets replaced in 10 years.
No, I couldn't see that. Now, eventually you're probably gonna get some weeds coming through the sides. So you may put a some sort of a Roundup or weed killer down, but that would be it.
What's the life expectancy of the material put down? How many of us with useful life would you consider this thing?
I would estimate 15 to 20 years. Okay. Unlike a bituminous flexible paving, you're not going to have that unraveling or slowly cracking or alligator in over time. It's just going to be gravel. So to me, it's going to be put down. It would stay as gravel other than affected by weeds. Or if you had a lot of concentrated runoff, and there's really no steep slopes or anything out there.
And what would the estimated cost be to replace, would you say, to replace that?
I did not work on the price for that.
I'm just curious. Okay, thank you.
So the term beaver.
Is this going to be connected to Old Quarry Knoll?
No, it is not. In fact, the property that separates, the borough property that separates Old Quarry Knoll from the front portion of the park on Valley Brook Road actually contains wetlands and waters of the U.S., so we wouldn't recommend doing any trails within that permits.
Chad, two questions. One, as far as replacement, is that the proper word, or in 15 years, would we just apply more of the same material and compact?
That's correct. You would be supplying more material and recompacting. If, in fact, it I can't imagine how it would degrade over time, because
sure.
It is stone. It's a crushed aggregate.
Yeah.
So I don't have any information on what would happen in 20 years, but certainly I think it would be more durable long-term than you would have as bituminous, which will eventually crack.
Sure, and I saw a notation on the email, I believe somewhere, about bike traffic not recommended on this surface.
We recommended that, not so much for the surface. Gravel biking is extremely popular, guilty, but with pedestrians on there, you don't think you have moms and strollers and kids, you don't need bicycles going at 10, 15 miles an hour.
Okay.
Not a 5 feet wide.
Correct, not
effective. So the original approved plan called for the road to be managed by the HOA, correct?
And
so
that's
this
correct.
So I get it now.
Consistent to that, correct. The original subdivision was going to have Chester Heights Borough assume the dedication, and it's my understanding that the applicant had agreed with council at the time that he would put in and install some sort of pedestrian path, which was probably going to be wood chips or similar at the park. This is far more expensive, far more durable than what wood chips would be.
The road was always intended to be dedicated though, right?
That is correct.
Susan, I think what happened was the original plan had lots both in Chester Heights and Concord.
Right.
And then it was revised at one time so that the Concord piece was all going to be one parcel. Mm-hmm. So then you had a road going, what is it, 500 or 600 feet of, or?
Approximately.
Yeah, 500 or 600 feet of road in Concord. With no lots, or one lot served off it. It's really there to service the 8 lots in Chester Heights. So if I'm putting the pieces together correctly, at that time it was like Chester Heights probably, so what are we taking 500 or 600 feet of road that's not even our municipality? So I think that's the discussions that went along that came up with the borough agreeing with the developer in Concord to take dedication as long as they get the liquid fuel funds. And that also, the offer was made to put the trail around the Chester Heights Park.
At no expense to the borough.
At no expense to the borough.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
Chad, we talked a little bit about the cost being incorporated in, into the developer's agreement.
Yes.
And a paragraph in the development agreement about this and copy of the plan attached. Can you work up a cost and maybe tomorrow and send it over to me and Matt? So Matt can take a look at it and give his okay that he feels it's, ballpark cost.
I can. We have the exact cost for a square foot, square yard in my office because we, like I said, we installed one last year, and that was under prevailing wage rates as well.
Okay.
The other question, Mr. President, would be when does the borough want this thing installed? I mean, the job, how long do you foresee the job being taken, Steve, to build out?
About a year and a half.
Okay, so I guess you have anywhere from the beginning of the job to the end of the job. Is there a timetable?
I'm sure that'd be seasonal too. Obviously, you wouldn't start something like that in the wintertime. Probably would start in the springtime.
1.5 years to install this path or to do the old quarry knoll?
The old quarry knoll.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right.
So my question is, what during that time span, when does Borough expect to have the trail up and walking, so to speak? So I guess that's a question for council.
I would probably recommend best working conditions, summer months maybe, Matt, you think when it's driest?
Yeah, I think we certainly want it sooner than later, but it is a little season dependent. So I mean, if you said something like within 9 months of the start of the job, that should get you at least through one summer, no matter what time you start.
Sure.
How long does it take to put this thing in, do you think, Jim?
300 feet a day, that's not 895 feet, so 3 to 4 business days.
Okay, about a week. Yeah, sure. Okay, all right.
Sure. Out of curiosity, since some of this requires obtaining property from Concord Township, how difficult is that?
Obtaining?
Part of this was to...
Well, we would sign it.
Concord would have to reassign that road to us.
Correct, and that would be part of the intermunicipal agreement.
How difficult is that?
Well, I can answer the question. It's an intermunicipal agreement between Concord Township and Chester Heights Borough. Concord Township has done this in the past, from my understanding, where they've allowed another municipality to take dedication of the road, the 300, 400, 500. And then they would give up certain rights in order to allow the other municipality to accept the benefit of the liquid fuels, money. So it's been done. It's been done between Concord and Aston and some other municipalities. And I think it's my understanding that Mr. O'Hanna is working on a draft of it.
Yeah, we have an agreement, a proposed agreement called a co-municipal agreement, which will be distributed to everybody later this week. And I guess we haven't heard anything from Concord, is that right, as far as there?
We just got comments from Nate Klein, the township engineer of Concord, who, at the request of Hugh Donahue, the solicitor of Concord, had a few minor comments with the improvement security and developers agreement, intermunicipal agreement, that Mr. Brenner, the applicant's attorney's revising Concord.
And I think you said, I saw your email today, Matt, Nate wasn't around today, or?
No, yeah, he was out of the office all day.
Yeah.
So I got to coordinate with him what Concord's anticipation is. You know, what do they want a developer's agreement for? Do they let Chester Heights do? You know, since we're eventually going to maintain the road, that we'd oversee its construction.
I think that's within the language of an intermunicipal agreement where Concord is saying it's all built to the standards of Chester Heights.
I was just out of curiosity, this road would represent, real rough, what percent increase in total borough-owned roads? And the reason I'm asking this is because, look at through the side, we've been dealing with snow removal costs. Mm-hmm. And so if this is 20% increase in borough-operated roads, that's 20% more.
I don't have it with me, but I have a spreadsheet with all the roads tallied up. If I had to guess, it wouldn't be 20%. It would probably be more like maybe approach 10%. But I can get you that figure.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, because that could be, how much we got hit with snow this year. That's 10% more we could be off every year in the future, too. So that's just an old concern.
Chad, one further question on this trail.
Yes, sir.
Is there a border on both sides of this path so that material won't start to walk, or is it just laid?
Actually, if you look at the detail, what we have is you box out the actual topsoil, roll the bottom, and then the stone actually goes in so it sits flush to the actual ground with the grass above it.
Okay, so the grass and the subgrade on both sides are more or less the border.
Correct, so it's literally boxed in, held together, and as I said, we can send you photos, and I believe Pete had asked for the address of TLC if anyone wanted to see it. It's held up amazing that it's been a year with nothing but heavy rains on the side of a steep slope.
Sure, and how wide is that trail you're referring to? At that?
5 feet.
Okay.
Same exact specification.
Okay.
What's Concord's trail that you mentioned up by the library, Chad? Do you know how wide that is?
I think I did. 8 feet. I think I did that one a little wider.
No.
Well, it's at least six.
The address, if anybody wants to take a ride out there, that Chad gave me is Chandler Mill Road and Buck Run Road. Chandler Mill Road and Buck Run Road in Kennett Township. So where's that, by Kennett Square somewhere?
Towards it. If you took Route 1 past Chad's Ford, made a left on 52, well before Buckley's, you would make a right on Hillendale Road and then make a left on Chandler Mill. The bridge is at the very bottom, so you want to come in that side. You can pull over. There's a porous parking lot that we did a porous concrete, and it has a few sections of a trail right there.
Okay, so it's off of Hillendale?
Hillendale, correct.
And you turn on Chandler Mill off of Hillendale?
That's correct. Okay. Go right to the dead end.
All right.
Is that the Learning Center at Southern Chester County?
Correct.
So we would add that to the developer's agreement and the copy of the plan.
Okay.
And some paragraph language, and there would be some dollar amount that Chad would get and Matt would approve.
Sure.
That would go in as part of the escrow funds on the improvements.
Okay.
And then we use the 9 months as a timetable from start of the project, just from the first building permit, or where do you want to, no, I guess it would be from when the what permit gets issued first when they start digging that?
Land disturbance.
Land disturbance, probably.
Land disturbance. I'll use that. Okay.
Matt, any further comments?
No, on the trail, I mean, on the one hand, I think a paved trail would serve the park better, but you have to weigh that against that probably the long-term maintenance issues with the paved trail, it becomes the borough's responsibility.
Sure.
So, again, I probably prefer a paved surface, but in 15 years, when that paved trail starts to crack apart, it is going to be a more major expense for the borough to take care of it than to just dress up and reapply stone chip surface to a stone trail. So,
sure.
You know, I don't know if the borough council has a strong feeling one way or another on the type of surface for the proposed trail.
Well, I think your point's well taken. The maintenance or replacement on or retopping or recoating of a blacktop trail would be way,
yeah,
you know, a lot, yes, more expensive than.
The only comment I would have, and I don't know if this is an issue anymore, but when my kids were bicycle riding age, they were nowhere in town to really allow them to learn how to ride a bike along the, yeah, pathway. If you had a paved trail, that would be perfect for teaching kids how to ride bikes. But
what are the drawbacks of riding bikes? I'm assuming it would churn it up, it would disturb it, probably shorten the life of it?
Not really. Riding the bikes on it really, yeah, doesn't. I mean, I do it a couple days a week. It doesn't hurt, yeah, the stone. I just looked at the pedestrian safety. That was an issue,
okay,
we had at Concord Township when we installed the plan, is we got a lot of complaints from people that were out there with kids.
Okay.
People on bicycles, primarily kids, are just buzzing by them.
Yeah. I can't imagine having older kids on this trail, probably young kids with their parents, maybe with their bikes or what have you.
I feel like we need a financial analysis of what does it cost. Well, you said the dedication, the road was always going to be dedicated, right, Matt?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my understanding, looking at the first year that plan was approved was what?
1991.
91, and then it was reapproved in 2000.
2005.
Looking at those two plans, it was always offered to be dedicated.
How long is the road into Old Quarry Knoll from beginning to end?
I forget.
I think it's 1,300 feet.
1,300 to 1,400 in total. 1,390, I think, Pete. Give me all the descriptions.
Thanks.
So to be
how
clear,
much in the
sorry, borough. I thought I was only talking about the trail.
Chad, how much in the borough versus?
Well, the 800 to 900, because you said 500 to 600 was the Concord.
Yeah, I believe it's 500 to 600, and that's the primary.
I mean, I was going to say say, we need to do a financial analysis, but if the road was always intended to be dedicated, there's nothing to be done, right?
And the borough would receive the liquid fuels that initially we go to Concord, that's in the intermunicipal agreement.
And to be clear, Susan, and for everybody asking, the road starts out in Chester Heights, goes into Concord, and it's back in Chester Heights, is that correct?
Oh, okay.
Actually, if coming from Smith Ridge Road, it's solely and wholly in Concord Township.
Okay.
As it goes up and makes the right-hand turn, once it enters Chester Heights, it terminates in Chester Heights.
Okay, okay.
It's approximately 1,400 feet long.
Is that a stop sign back onto Smith Ridge from that road? So if you're coming out of the development?
Yes.
It's a stop sign?
Well, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes, you have to, for HOP, correct.
I was just versus a traffic light?
No, Nanny, you would never have the traffic to warrant that from the average daily traffic, the ADT. So with only 8 homes, that's a stop sign only, and we're awaiting the PennDOT permit right now, the HOP permit. What we did do is, at the request of the borough, a cobra light was added to the closest utility pole.
And Philip, Sue was able to put out a schedule of the borough roads, and I was actually pretty close. That additional 1,400 feet would be a 10% increase.
And so the only reason I brought, if we're over budget by $10,000 on snow removal this year, that's an extra $1,000 that.
Correct.
Mr. Block, if I could, but the portion in Concord that you referenced only, I think that's 500 to 600 feet, somewhere around there, so probably, I'm guessing, 4 to 5% of the overall budget.
I was just thinking, because some of us didn't know the whole road was dedicated, so I'm just thinking, sure, as we take that road, what that means in terms of our having to be a little bit more accurate in our snow prediction. Which, this year, I don't think we had.
No, we weren't, last Tuesday, right?
And that 1,400 square feet approximation, does that include the Concord?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any further questions for Mr. Ingram? All right, Chad, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.
Okay, moving forward, next up on the agenda, we have resolutions, documentation filing. Phil, please.
Yeah, so let me first make a comment. Apparently, when I sent these out on Monday, I sent out my old draft and not the final draft that Jerry was kind enough to put together. So my recommendation is, I think we should just talk about these tonight and do whatever voting we want to do at the next borough work session, because I would find it very ironic to have a resolution out there saying we need something 3 business days in advance, and you just got the real version today. So I think that would be quite ironic. So I'm not really asking for any council movement on these till the next work session, but if we can just kind of review these and take any questions. So the first one, and you should all have a copy, and so it looks like this. It's not the short sentences. That's the old version. So what you're looking at right now is not the correct version.
Okay.
It's those right there. So it has a much better verbiage that Jerry put in over my initial draft. And the first one is, talking about the need to have the documentation for voting purposes 3 business days ahead. And there's no specific number, so if you're looking at them, it's the, I don't know which, if you look at where it says now, therefore, part one says all documents, that's how you know you're on the right resolution.
Okay.
I don't know if I should read it all out at this point, but It's basically what we discussed before, saying unless there's adequate reason not to have these, that all documents relate to subject matter for consideration of deliberating and taking official action before the council should be submitted to the borough secretary and disseminated to council and the mayor at least 3 business days prior to the public meeting. That can, you know, materials can be submitted later if, and this is number 2 at the bottom of that page, the matter is of critical importance that delay of the subject matter cannot be postponed or rescheduled, and that each council member and the mayor is notified by the author or presenter of the documents in the fact that it must be reviewed without the 3-day notification, and that confirmation is received from each council member that they received the documents. And we put that in there because just because it got sent out doesn't necessarily mean somebody had a chance to check their email. So to present less than 3 days, there should be confirmation from the council members that they received it, and that the majority of the council members approve deliberating on that action without the 3 business days. So it's basically saying we need 3 business days for the documentation. If there's adequate reason not to have it, then these couple of items here need to be addressed before deliberation can be taken on that particular issue.
So I had one question.
Yeah.
The 3 business days, is that going to include the day of the meeting?
So it would basically be sometime our meetings are on Monday, sometime Thursday.
Okay.
And the reason I chose 3 is because if it was 2, then that presupposes that every time we get documents that the council members really need to take their weekend to review the documents, and I didn't want to make that assumption for all council people. So this gives you, you know, more than likely you'll probably wind up getting them late Thursday, you know, if things work out, but that gives you Friday and Monday to review.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to require people taking their weekends,
sure.
The weekends, of course.
Okay.
That was the kind of philosophy. The second one is basically similar in that the agenda should be published to the public 3 business days ahead. Again, that would be Thursday. Primarily so that the public has the ability to review what's going to be discussed prior to the meeting, giving the public enough time to review that. Again, at the council president's discretion, an agenda may be revised or published less than 3 days if the matters of a critical importance arises which needs discussion at that public meeting and 3 days aren't available. Publication of the agenda or revisions thereto is made timely to the council prior to the start of the meeting, and basically an explanation of the delay in publication is recorded in the public meetings of that meeting. So it would be up to, in this case, Drew, if something came up with it, within that 3 business days to approve a change in the agenda, it just would need to be stated at the public meeting why the agenda was changed. And again, I don't feel comfortable taking any action because obviously I didn't get the correct version out. 3 public, you know, 3 business days before this meeting, although I had that intent. So I would ask that we, if anybody has any questions, let me know, and we can address any additions and then address it at the next work session.
Sure. Okay. Great. Any further questions for Philip?
I just question why we need to have a resolution for something that we could very simply ask our personnel to do.
For me personally, because this needs to survive past this year in this council. So this sets it as a way of, we don't have a lot of procedures in this borough, and so this would just set it forth this way for everyone.
I mean, can't we just ask our personnel to please get us things by a Thursday or a Friday? And
well, it's not necessarily the personnel either. It's people submitting documents.
But that's going to happen. Perfect example, what happened just
well,
now.
Well, so we're not voting on it now. So that's the purpose of this resolution, is that we're not forcing people who haven't had a chance to look at this to vote on it. And so, as an example, what happened last time, for whatever purposes, the documentation wasn't in, and it had nothing to do with borough personnel. Documentation wasn't in beforehand.
Things happen.
Well, there is a provision to...
Everybody understands or can simply be asked, let's try to get things in a timely fashion. I just don't see why we need to have resolutions or something that, I mean, we're all adults here.
This is how businesses operate via specific methods and procedures.
We've gone this long without it and somehow survived. I just think it's overkill. I just want to put my two cents in.
I actually think there's a lot of policies and procedures that we don't have documented, like little things like, and I was just, right, you know, the reasons and process for canceling a meeting, who has agenda responsibility, what are the powers of the committee. I've noticed along the way over the years that there's a lot of things that are just like a little too loose, you know, and
yeah, well, not everything needs to be micromanaged either.
Actually, they do. This is a public entity. This is not run for our personal benefit or gain or pleasure.
This has nothing to do with personal anything.
So municipal organizations do have to have rules of responsibility and methods of running their business, just like any corporation.
I just remember when we went to PSAB, they said that really you should have some rules of council. We don't really have any. So that's all.
Okay, moving forward, anything else from anyone? Comments, concerns?
Just one question. So
sure.
Does anything, this documents, or does that include agenda? Like, what's the scope of this?
So the resolution about the documents is specific to any document that requires the council to deliberate and take a vote on.
Okay, so it's not the agenda then?
Well, the other resolution is the agenda needs to be out ahead of time too.
Okay.
But if it's just a document for review or discussion, no. But if it's going to require us to have a vote on it, then yes, it needs to be.
Okay.
When do we normally have the agenda out?
I talk to Drew usually Thursday morning, and then we film it up Friday. We send it out to council up there.
And then usually, you know,
Friday I'll list what's on the agenda.
We've all made little changes to it afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
It's not for us. The agenda is for the public. And if the public doesn't see it till Monday morning, if there's very few people a chance to determine whether they need to be at the public at the council meeting.
Okay. All right, moving forward. Up on the agenda next, old business. Do we have any old business? Moving forward again, new business. Any new business?
I have two items. The speed radar sign did come in. I need to work with Larry to come up with options for placement of those.
Okay.
So I did that. That's forthcoming. It was, I just had to find time in my schedule for my travel to hook up with Larry. I should be able to do that within the next week or so.
Are we okay to mount that close to 101 in that vicinity, Larry, or are you still going back and forth with Paul Lutz from PennDOT? Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. The other thing
we're going to beg for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's mounted up there, up above it, and it's doing its job. So
okay,
yeah. As well as we're coming through. The other thing, just as and I just made Larry aware of this, is around the Darlington Woods, and that is more of a FYI to council. Also, we had approved to put in speed bumps there. In the communities, the seven around the main circle. I just want to make everyone aware of that, plus find out if there's any issues of doing that as well from a borough perspective. They're private roads, so.
My only input would be that there are standards that the state accepts in terms of height and width and stuff, and they should be followed.
Okay.
But if they're private roads, right? We don't plow those or
no.
Or anything.
Okay. So it's more of an FYI then at that point. I was going to clear it with Sam and Larry to make sure from a life safety perspective there aren't any major issues. And if there isn't, then they'll probably be going in the next month or so.
Did you pick a contractor yet?
McAdam.
Who?
McAdam.
Is that a play on words, like mechanic?
I guess it could have been.
Is that all, Jordan?
That's it.
Thank you. Okay, moving forward, we have an additional period for public comment. Anyone in the first row?
No.
Second row? Third row?
Yeah, I just have a few things. Sam Minucci, president of the firehouse. Just some informational things. First, we've not heard from the FEMA grant yet. 6 months behind. I don't know what to say. I guess Washington can't even do that. And that's nothing to think. So they're 6 months behind on that. We've had a couple major expenditures this month at the firehouse. One was on the sewer line lateral that was put in. Recently, the last year and a half, we've had three blockages that we've had to have cleaned out. We finally hired somebody to run a camera down there, and what they discovered was, they believe, well, it's been repaired, so what they discovered was there was a crack in the pipe where it connects into the manhole. When they excavated it this week to repair it, they believe that when it was possibly installed and compacted, that the compaction was too hard. It took the joint, it was like a rubber neoprene joint, I guess, pushed in, and pushed that elbow down and settled, so the sewage was not running. So that was a $3,500 expenditure. The other thing we've incurred is an additional fee from Chester Water that we're appealing. Just want to let you know that we're also filing an appeal with the PUC. Chester Water is charging us $592 a month plus consumption charges to have our firehouse connected for the sprinkler connection. This is nothing but a tap off that's not used unless the valve opens up. So it's no different than that hydrant as far as I'm concerned. We just have it hooked up. So we've appealed it to Chester Water. We didn't get a favorable response to our question or to our answer, so we're going to file an appeal with the PUC and take it a little higher. Today we had, our third thing was we had our state fire relief audit. It was grueling. We had probably a total of 15 expenditures for the last 2 years. There was one finding and one observance found. The observance will remedy real easy. We use a credit card when some of our folks are going to training to pay their tuition to enroll. It's difficult. The state doesn't want us to use our credit card, so we won't use our credit card anymore. They'll do that. The other thing is we had developed a policy for electronic checks so that when we pay a bill, the bank pays it automatically and we don't physically write a check. Sort of like you do your online checking at home and it pays. The state does not agree with that format, even though they approved it 2 years ago, so that we now have to physically write a check. The finding was there was three checks written last year that only have one signature on it, and the state requires two signatures, even though the policy said that we were going to have one and everybody initials the bills. So when we get a bill for something, it's initialed by two people, it's given to the treasurer. So we will make those corrections. It won't hinder, I think, our relief monies that are due us. I'm just bringing it to your attention because you'll get a copy of that audit and you'll say, hey, there was a finding, what happened? The new roof is on the firehouse, so we don't have any leaks over the new roof. And they'll hopefully finish the stucco up, if the weather permits, by the end of this week, so that the residents that were concerned about how it looked on that side, the tin, really should be happy that it now blends in as one. So there are things that are going on that went on in the firehouse this month. So you know as much as I do.
Thank you, Sam. Larry, anything?
No.
Okay, great. Moving forward, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you. Unless you need them.
No.
I better get rid of these old ones before I... Thank you.